I'm talking with Jess Peterson of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association. And Jess, there's been a lot of information that's come out, and you've been working to gather what this stimulus aid means for cattle producers across the country. And so if we had to start with some of the key points of what we know right now, we're still waiting on some details, but what do we know at this moment?
Yeah, correct. Well, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that $9.5 billion seems like a lot of numbers, a lot of money there, and hat tip to Chairman and Senator John Hoeven for getting that $9.5 billion through there. That number actually falls just a little bit short of all the losses and dollars that are needed. So they basically set up a system in which 85% of the price loss coverage is through April 15th. And then from there, so basically now moving forward, it's a 30% of the price loss will be covered here in the next two quarters. So what does that mean? Again, $9.5 billion. This is that kind of obscure concept of funding the Commodity Credit Corporation at the Department of Agriculture. We're a little different in livestock because we haven't received any of these price support payments. As folks know, they had the market facilitation payments for the other crops and commodities that link to the China issue here in the last couple of years. Livestock is new to this. So putting that funding in there is very helpful to have just that $9.5 billion to livestock. But again, it still fell short of the loss. So from January forward, we're going to have 85% through April 15th, and again, 30% moving forward. Now, our goal is to go back. A couple things we're going to do, because we're also faced with the Department of Agriculture didn't have to do this, but they did based on some letters they received from Congress. And so they placed limits of $125,000 per commodity with an overall limit of $250,000. Now, to the folks that don't make their living in cattle production and understand much about both the cow-calf, the feeder stocker, and the feed yard, that might seem like a lot of money. That's not, unfortunately. And so we need those price limits to be much, much higher. We wanted it, U.S. Cattlemen's Association wanted that cap to around 10,000 head, which would put up to $3 million. And those are the type of real dollars. We didn't cap the airlines. We didn't go in there and look at any other small businesses and say, well, you're getting a cap for where you're at. So again, these cattle need to be, these numbers, we all know, those numbers need to be higher based on the losses and also just on those payments. So from this perspective moving forward, so there is a cap and there will be a rulemaking here in the next few weeks. Everything's weird on time frames, but here in the next week or two, the Department of Agriculture will propose rulemaking in which they'll outline the payment mechanism and the classification for payments and things of that nature. So that will be coming out here shortly. Look to Red River News and U.S. Cattlemen's Association and other groups will be talking about that. And so you will be eligible for some payments, and that's a good thing. But as of right now, the U.S. Cattlemen's Association think it falls short. It needs to have no payment, but it needs to have a much, much higher cap, and there much needs to be more dollars available. So again, what can producers do? Keep that dialogue going with your delegation, with your senators, with your congressmen. Let them know livestock needs a specific program. Let them know there's a little bit more intricacies to how our production chain works, and we would need more dollars. In addition to that, we need to remove any type of, we just need to increase those caps for producers and payments.
So looking maybe further down the pipeline, Jess, is there an opportunity to maybe capture some more dollars or get a program, you know, that works just a little bit better for livestock producers?
Well, absolutely. U.S. Cattlemen's Association, we were the first ones to call for some funding through the CCC program. And even at that time, there was kind of some eye rolls and whatnot. Now there isn't. Everyone realized the storm of COVID-19, the storm you could not prepare for, you cannot prepare for, as we see packing plants go down. So it is something of epic proportions. And so we need a true safety net for cattle producers. So we kind of took the bull by the horns and went to Congress and the department and started putting our request in clear back in middle of March. And, you know, from there, yes, absolutely. We see we're very optimistic about making the changes. It really comes down to picking up that phone and talking to your senator, talking to your staffer, and letting them know. So yeah, we're very optimistic on getting some more dollars coming down the line. And certainly as we see the fallout from these meatpacking plants going down, there's going to be numbers there too as we look at the current board today and where prices are at. And again, folks, our goal is, and I can't emphasize enough, our goal is that, you know, producers and cattle feeders and those involved in the industry do what they do best, and that is, you know, keep their eye on the ball, keep their eye on their operation as we work to put policies together. So if you want to learn more, always go to the U.S. Cattlemen's Facebook page. You can always go to the U.S. Cattlemen's website, and then we're having calls, regularly scheduled updated calls. If you want to learn more about those, just go on the website, you know, give us a call. We'll get you connected. It would be great to have you a member, but as of right now, just for cattle industry service, we're providing loads of advice and insight and where we're going. So again, yes, we see improvement, and we see some more dollars coming down the line that better fit the problem.
And Jess, I guess my final question for you would be kind of beyond, I know, coronavirus and everything that's going on in the world right now related to uncertainty really is taking the main headlines. But what other issues related to this subject or maybe off the beaten path is U.S. Cattlemen's continuing to work on?
Well, first off, we're going to get through this. I mean, I tell each and every producer out there, don't get down. I know it's tough to do that. Don't beat your head against the wall. That's the U.S. Cattlemen's Association job. So these are tough times out there, and we want producers to know that we literally are working around the clock. I have never seen staffers and members of Congress and Department of Agriculture officials work harder. So I really want to share that breath of optimism out there. I know there's not too much optimism out there, but I will tell you this ag industry is resilient, but we're also coming together. And I can also tell you in my 15 plus years of working in ag policy, this is the most inspired I've been by fellow folks across the country working together on policies, on rallying around how a pathway forward looks, members of Congress, senators, staffers working around the clock. And again, so we will get there, folks. We will get there. These are tough times. Take a breath, turn off the news, do what you do best on the farm and ranch, and just know that there's an ally and there's an advocate working hard for you, your state associations. There's lots of, not just U.S. cattlemen, but there are a lot of groups. All the ag groups are working really, really well out there. As we look at returning to normal, and we look at the fact that some of the highest quality feeder cattle in the country, I mean, our track record has done nothing but improve with genetics and feeding, and just you look at the carcass quality and the steak quality and everything that goes into this. Is bull sale season. Look at the genetics that have improved in the last 20 to 30 years. And so a big effort underway to capture some of that value. We're seeing these formula pricing agreements, and we're seeing kind of these sweet deals that large feed yards will work with packers and set up what could be mediocre cattle, and those are under a formula deal, and so that allows them to kind of do better in the market, or let's just say not send the most accurate, transparent signals for the cattle market. The simplest and easiest way, there's a lot of proposals out there, but there's a pathway forward, a simple pathway forward to improve the cash settlement. And if you think about the cash settlement, when you've got a great quality of cattle, you're always going to be benefited by increased cash and increased competition. There's a lot of different thought processes out there, but there's one that could be a pathway forward, which would say 30% of every 2 weeks the packers are buying their cattle, 14 days, they have to have 30% procured through the cash market. And so that's, you know, in parts of the Midwest, Nebraska, Iowa, they don't quite have that problem. It's the problem in the South where that trade is literally in the single digits. So we're trying to increase the trade in the South, and we hope that'll even bump up even higher in the Midwest. What does that mean for you? That means greater price discovery. That means, you know, last summer we should have had, everyone talks about Holcomb fire. We should have had a bump in those cattle markets leading up to the Holcomb fire. We couldn't get those fundamentals to lift up a little bit. prime, and you had beef demand was up, you had price was up, you had all those signals in place. Why didn't the market pick up? Because you don't have this convergence. You don't have this cash discovery. So it's a simple step. And then, again, there's a lot of ideas and a lot of bills that will get a one senator or two senator, and they'll sit out there and introduce it. This actually has a true pathway forward. It's the price reporting law that gets reauthorized this year. It's like the farm bill for the cattle industry. So every 5 years, we reauthorize price reporting. We can insert a simple amendment in there that would insert this 30% cash minimum. And that's, again, that's the floor. It could go up to higher, but we see that as a pathway forward. So one, it's feasible this year. It's not tied to a lot of different ideas and different concepts in a bill out there that everyone can cuss and moan at the coffee shop when it doesn't get done, but rather it's a pathway forward. It increases competition. It increases transparency. It addresses the problem with the lack of cash trade across the Southern Plains. In addition, when you talk about the futures board that sometimes has frustration with the lack of convergence, the more liquidity there actually pushes back on the computer. So you have five really good reasons to support 3014. Go to U.S. Cattlemen's Association website, sign on that petition, let us know you're supportive. Corbett Wall and the Feeder Flash, they're out there talking about it too. Again, folks, 3014, you could call it the bipartisan solution for the industry. We've got NCBA affiliates. We've got U.S. Cattlemen's affiliates or ZARCAF affiliates. They're all on board with it. And again, there's some ideas out there and some folks wanted to go higher. Absolutely. But let's get the first step forward. If there's one thing that 2020 is teaching us, it is find solutions for the pathway forward. You can sit out in the rain and complain about it, or you can get out there and do something about it. And that's what we're doing here.